Welcome to Let's Talk Clothes, a podcast where each episode I sit down with my guest to talk about their relationship with clothing. Today, my guest is Jessica Track. Jessica is a knitter supreme, bicycling enthusiast, and most extroverted introvert. She's also my sister.
Hi.
Hello. All right, so first things first, we always start with, can you tell me about your current outfit?
Oh, yeah. I'm just what I'm wearing right now.
Yes, that is your current outfit.
Okay, should I start at the top or the bottom?
However you like.
I'm wearing a pair of skinny ripped jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-ripped.
Yes.
A pair of olive green socks. And I guess a periwinkle V-neck t-shirt. And a hot pink hand-knit sweater.
Yeah, like a V-neck pullover.
It's very boxy. It's got side. It's a short in the front. It's got a
high-low
vent.
Yep.
On the side. What would you call that?
Yeah, I would say a vent.
Seam, an open seam on the side.
Yeah, that little like triangle thing.
So I'm wearing my Harlow sweater that I just finished.
Oh, fun. So Harlow, is this in reference to the name of the pattern or what does that mean?
Yeah, it's the name of the pattern. I don't remember the name of the designer. I should know that, but I don't remember.
I don't know. From listening to, like, you and I both listen to Vancouver podcast, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, Love to Sew. I blanked on it for a minute. I was like, what's mm-hmm. happening? Love to Sew. And mm-hmm. so they tend to talk about, like, specific patterns and designers and, like, is it a similar culture within knitting in terms of, like, there's, like, specific designers and, like, oh, you really, like, will people kind of, like, lean towards, like, if they, like, one designer, they'll kind of follow that person's, like, gospel of patterns, or are you kind of, like, all over the place in terms of...
I would say it's similar in terms of the way people describe their projects. So, yeah, usually you reference the name of the pattern
mm-hmm.
and the name of the designer, if you can remember, like, if you know the name of the designer.
Yeah.
Like, I know Harlow is part of the Brooklyn Tweed family of patterns, but they work with different designers, so I can't remember which designer specifically did this one. We can put it in the show notes.
Ooh, show notes.
I always wanted to say that. but yeah, some people stay really close and like to knit. Like, if you like the way a designer designs, you would knit their patterns or gravitate toward their patterns, or you can kind of jump around and do different things, but... the other thing you'll talk about is the yarn you used and the qualities mm-hmm. of the yarn. So I don't know if sewers do that in as much detail. They might say, like, I'm not as great at sewing, but you might, like, name the fabric characteristics. But in knitting, you would say, like, the brand of yarn, the color, the weight.
No, I think...
Sometimes the spinning construction...
Whether it's like a very lofty,
the name of the dyer, if it's an indie dyer, that kind of stuff. So that's almost as important as the pattern you chose.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because like you'll get a different like feel to the fabric of the sweater or the knit good of like if it's a really like lofty, like loosely, like single ply yarn versus like a tightly spun double ply or like.
But like the name of the the maker of the yarn is just as important as the designer of the pattern. Where I think in sewing, you might talk about like. I made this with like a linen something, a linen, medium weight linen, but you wouldn't necessarily name the fabric maker.
I think there are some. I think it's more within...
There are certain ones.
At
like
least
Liberty,
quilting
Liberty
fabrics.
Prince is one, right?
Yeah, I think
there
it's more...
There are some, but it's not as much of a thing as it is in knitting. People get really specific.
Yeah.
They'll even tell you like what size needles they use to make their project, that kind of stuff.
I think you could get that. Yeah, I think you could get that, like, nitty-gritty within sewing, but I don't know that it's, like, an inherent aspect of the discussion of, like, because depending on what size of, like, yarn, like, the weight of the yarn compared to, like, the weight of the, or size of the needle, like, your mm-hmm. needle gauge, that will produce a different fabric, whether it's really, like, tight
right.
and heavy and dense and doesn't move, or if it's very, like, soft and drapey and flowy, like, you're kind of deciding that in when you're sewing, like, that's how you're deciding... what type of fabric to use, because the fabric already is that.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas in knitting, you are making the fabric.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like the other week I retaught myself how to weave on my rigid heddle loom, and so I was so happy. I like got it all set up, and I was weaving, and Armand came into the bedroom, and I was like, I'm making cloth. Like, I just kept saying, I'm making cloth.
It does make you feel very powerful.
Yes.
I remember when I learned, and our mom our mom, not our mom.
Our mother.
Our mother taught me how to use a drop spindle. And I felt like, and I still feel when I use it, I feel like I'm like a god, godlike.
Oh yeah, like that.
Because I'm making the string that I will then use to make the fabric that will turn into something I can wear.
Oh yeah, my joke is, I was talking to Abby about this before we did her interview of,
Are we allowed to talk about other interviews?
Oh yeah, we do that. I do that. Interview? I do that a lot. I don't know that anyone else will do that, because I don't know how many other people actually listen to this. I want to pretend
these other interviews never existed.
Oh, no.
I'm the only interview.
We don't live in that vacuum. But I was chatting with her about it, and I can't remember how it came up, but it basically was like, oh, if the apocalypse does happen, I have, like, some wilderness skills, but I also know how to make clothes, so I feel like I'm useful. They will keep me.
Oh, yeah. Very useful. And not only do you know how to make clothes, but they'll be very fashionable.
Yes. People have very fashionable,
you look great in your bark outfit.
I was going to say, like, my leaf skirt.
Your birch bark, or...
Yeah. All right. So, what has been your relationship with clothing?
Well, we were talking the other day about, I'd forgotten this when I was a kid, our mother was mentioning about how when I was younger, I was what they call husky, the technical term for it as a child.
That's horrible.
Or now I'm curvy, so I don't know if that's better, but that clothing shopping when I was growing up in the early 90s, there wasn't a lot. It was very like prescriptive about what was available, and I was too young to know what I wanted. I just knew that I didn't like what my options were. Like, everything, like, the necks were really tight, and it was all, like, spandex was a big thing, and I wanted kind of what I want now, which is clothes that don't touch my body. And so we would go clothing shopping for, like, back to school, and I hated it, and it would always end in tears. And so I think Mom and I were both trying to postpone that part of it for as long as possible, just trying to, like, be really nice to each other, because it would eventually end up in me crying in the change room for no reason.
Like,
just being overwhelmed. And so she would, being really polite, she would be asking me, like, what do you think of this one? Because I think she was afraid of upsetting me by saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And I would just say, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. And after a couple of these excursions, when she kind of clued in and finally asked me, but are you going to wear it? And I was like, oh no, never going to wear that. Which kind of, and she was like, oh, okay. Now I'm like, she could buy me clothes and I wouldn't wear them.
Yeah.
I have all these new clothes in my closet that I never wore that were very, like, I guess, in the generation, but I hated it. I didn't like the way they felt. I didn't like the way they looked on my body. It was awful. So that's where we started.
Yeah. Oh, I also know this story, and I think Mom told me about it because we were going shopping or something like that. And so I think it's kind of her, like, it's probably her aha moment as a parent of just like, oh, this is how I'm communicating with this child. Like, this is how this child is, my child is communicating with me, and I can communicate with them, and that kind of back and forth. Because also we were talking about things earlier with Mom about, like, earlier today, of what did each of her children need? Because we also have a brother between the two of us. And so, like, what did each of them need? And so, like, that was how you communicated about clothing to her. But it was kind of like, how, like, what are you saying versus what do you mean?
Right.
So, yeah, I have been told this story many a times of, like, oh, yeah, I used to take your sister shopping. And I used to say, like, what about this? What about this? And she'd say, like, it's nice. It's nice. And then she finally asked, will you wear this? And you went, no.
Never.
And she
was like, oh, no, no. And it was so, like, well, obviously not. Like, of course not.
Yeah.
It's so nice for someone else, but not for me.
But I think that's her precursor. So, like, when she and I go shopping together, if it's, like, shopping for an event, and if, like, she's helping me or if she's going to help, like, pay for something, then it's, like, tell me if you don't like it because I don't want to waste my time or my money.
Yeah, but I think clothing is, it can, for me, it's very emotional.
Yes.
And it can be emotional in a, like, overwhelming way of, like, not feeling like things don't look right or they're not expressing the me I want to be. And that can be really frustrating. But then it's also fun to just kind of dress intuitively and dress for how I'm feeling that day. And it's really satisfying when it works out, where you're able to go into your closet and say, this is the me I want to be today, and I have the outfit for that. And you put it on, and it's like, yeah, this feels right.
Oh, yeah.
Now, whether how it looks is another thing. I'm not really sure if I'm pulling it off the way I think I am, but...
I think the big thing is going into any outfit with confidence. Like, I think that's the whole idea of whether you can or cannot wear something. It's like, if you're comfortable in it, that will really affect your confidence and how you are wearing it.
I think so.
Because, like, so I was just editing back Miles's episode, and he was talking about, for, like, a friend's wedding or something, he had to wear a suit. And, like, he's very fashionable, but he's not, like, a suit, kind of like that kind of, like, prescriptive gender role type of person. Mm-hmm. So he had to wear a suit, and one of his friends was like, you look so different. Like, he was carrying himself so differently. Yeah. Like, he wasn't comfortable in it. And that showed. And so I think that's a big thing about, like, when people get so hung up about, like, oh, I could never wear that. It's like, well, maybe you're not comfortable in it, and that's why you feel like, or you just, I don't know.
And sometimes it's just, like, playing a part. Like, mm-hmm. You're playing a role. But yeah, I get that feeling too. Like, I like fancy dress, but sometimes it doesn't feel like me. It's more like a costume.
Yeah.
So, but I will say too, though, like, going back, so that was probably when I was, like, grade four, like, just around, like, pre-puberty, like, older. Yeah. It wasn't great. It was a great time. It was almost worse than actual puberty in some ways, because it was just, you were still a little kid, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. But before that, like, one of my, I had some pretty special outfits when I was, like, younger, like preschool and kindergarten and stuff. So I think there's also an element of, like, clothing that says something about who I am, but also that makes me laugh. Like, I like a little whimsy in my fashion.
Yeah. I mean, you are wearing a hot pink.
Yeah.
Pullover.
And, so, like, one of my favorite out, well, I had, there's that photo of me when I was like three.
Your pet dog, your pet frog. Yeah,
going out for a walk, and I'm like head to toe in pink with a bucket hat and sunglasses, and I've got like all these accessories with me just, like, to go for a walk down the street. Like, it was literally like our parents going like, let's go for a quick walk around the block. I'm like, hang on a second, like, hold my beer. I gotta go get dressed, and I show up in this like head to toe outfit. I'm ready.
Yeah.
So there's that element of, like, kind of over the top.
Like, you need to put your jewels on to go get ice cream.
We're doing it a little bit. And then probably my next big memory is going to my first day of kindergarten. And I had a shirt that was, I was like a rugby style shirt with a collar.
Okay.
Like that kind of thick jersey kind of fabric. And it had pictures of purple pizza on it. And it was my purple pizza shirt. And I think it was a hand-me-down from somebody, but I loved it because it was weird, but also because it had a name. Like, it was the purple pizza. Like, it was a thing unto itself. Like, it existed on its own, and it was its own outfit.
Yep.
And I just loved it so much, and it was, like, getting dressed up for kindergarten. I was like, well, obviously I'm wearing, it was, like, the fanciest, in my mind, the fanciest shirt I owned at the time.
Yeah.
And I was photographed in it for something for kindergarten, and it was like, I was so proud of that shirt.
I was just about to ask you, because I know I spent so much time, similar to now how as an adult, I'm just like, so what's my next meal going to be? When I was a child, it was like, oh, there's like photo day or whatever. It's like, oh, what am I wearing for photo day? So did you put a lot of time and thought and energy into that, or was that me?
No, I probably did, but I think, again, I was treating it more like a who was I supposed to be rather than... Like, I think it's taken me a long time to figure out how to use clothes to express
interesting
myself. So, like, in high school, a lot of time I was trying to dress for what I thought was cool at the time, but really didn't suit me at all. So, I don't have really a lot of great yearbook photos of me, because it's like, I never dressed like that any other day of the year. It was just, but for that day, it was like, I wanted to be, like, I went, like, think preppy was, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, you could be a skater, or you were preppy, or you were, like, grunge, a goth.
Yeah.
And so I went for, like, preppy looks for picture day, and that wasn't always, like, that wasn't my day-to-day look at all.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes, like, I go in the wrong direction, and it's, like, I'm, again, playing a part, but it's not really me.
Okay, I'm thinking more, like, not even high school, because I also, in high school, like, I tried, like, the, like, about what is it, like, the bootcut, like, juicy style, like, sweatpants. And I remember wearing, like, a baby pink, like, juicy style, like, sweatpants to school, and I was so aware of it all day. And, like, in hindsight, it's like, I don't wear pink, I don't wear sweatpants out of the house, I don't wear that cut of pants, like, everything about it was, like...
I don't wear sweatpants out of the house either. I have a lot of rules about, like, not rules so much, but, like, I'm not comfortable in loungewear in public.
Yeah.
I'll wear, like, yoga pants if I'm going to a yoga class.
Yeah.
But I don't like wearing... I would never wear them to work. Ever. Because then it's, like, that's for relaxing time. I need, like, there to be division between, yes, like, inside and outside.
I'm the same. Well, I also, I feel like I take it one step further. And so there's, like, there's outside clothes, which are either, like, work clothes, studio clothes, or, like, I'm going out for, like, drinks or for a walk or whatever. Like,
yeah.
There's, I'm going to go be seen clothes to, like, varying degrees. And then there's bed clothes. And then there's the, like, I am at rest in home, but I am not sleeping clothes. So that's, like, those leggings you got, mm-hmm, me, like, my little cactus leggings, or, like, tank tops. Usually my tank tops, they go to bed with me.
Yeah.
But it's, like, there's, like, a taper, like, there's, like, a gradual shifting into bedtime, but it's, like, I'll come home from work, and then I change into, like, my relaxing clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But then I will change again into, like, my pajama clothes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would agree. And I change my clothes, like, like, you did that project where you took a photo of yourself every time you changed your outfit, like, for different activities.
Yeah.
Like, 3 outfits a day is probably pretty average for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes, on a weekend, more, because I'll change for each time I go out, I'm, like, wearing something different, because the weather will change, or where I'm going is different.
Oh, yeah, like, you might, like, go out for, like, a walk, or you'll go out to yoga, or you'll go out to brunch, and then you come home, and you're like, okay, we're changing into, like, different clothes.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I'm going for drinks, gotta change into my drinks clothes.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't mean the whole outfit has to change, it might just be like, oh, I like the top, but I'm gonna change the bottoms, or...
Sometimes.
Bottoms will stay, and it's usually if you're wearing jeans, you're like, I'm just gonna put a different top on. But then sometimes, yeah, it's like, nope, whole thing's changing, even my face, my hair, everything's changing. Yeah. You're a different person.
Yeah, pretty. I think it's more like that.
Yeah. Oh, yes, just, like, the photos. I used to plan, like, I think my favorite was still, I remember grade 4, I had this little, like, gray sleeveless top and a little shrug that went with it. And, like, for what felt like a month, but it's probably just, like, a week or two, mm-hmm, I was like, this is my outfit. This is the outfit I'm wearing that day.
Yeah, so, like, I just had graduation.
Yes, you did. You're a doctor now.
Yeah, so I graduated yesterday. And I did think about that outfit for, and I thought about also what I was going to wear to my defense. So I kind of think about these things a long time in advance. Like when I get invited to a wedding,
yep,
like I immediately start planning what I'm going to, like as soon as, like before I even RSVP, I know what dress I'm wearing to the wedding.
Oh.
Even if it's like 6 months away. Yeah, I did plan that out. Like I knew what shoes I was going to wear for,
yep,
months for graduation. And then I narrowed it down to one of two dresses. So, I do put a lot of thought into things. I'm just not always sure. But then I also have to leave room for, like, moment of, like, how I'm going to feel that day.
Yes.
So that I can accommodate, like, what mood I'm in that day.
Oh, I am very much the same. And I'm having a moment where I'm like, oh, we are definitely related. Where it's like, even in my personal life, it's like, I need to be able to plan things, but also be like, but how will I feel the day of?
Yeah. How, again, going back to, like, it's very emotional. So, like, how I feel in the moment matters a lot. So I've learned, like, because sometimes you plan it out and then you put it on and you're like, this feels awful. It looks,
yep,
like garbage. This is not how I want to be today.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you got to start all over again.
Which is very stressful.
So it was really a relief yesterday. One, I had your guys kind of support for, mm-hmm, the outfit that I picked. But then when I got there, it turned out that the robes I was wearing very closely matched the dress I had,
yeah,
and my shoes. So I got a lot of compliments from people. I'm like, they're like, wow, you really nailed this. So it worked out well. I felt very confident. But then I get worried about... how I felt in the outfit versus how I actually looked in it. So that's why I don't like often like pictures of myself.
That's fair.
Because it sometimes how I look doesn't match how I felt. And I'd rather remember how I felt in the outfit.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
So note to self, if the photos don't look good, just tell you that the roll burned.
Well, but the thing is, that it might be a good representation of what I actually looked like.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't match what I thought in my head.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So.
No, that makes sense. All right.
What's next?
Oh, what do you think your clothing says about you?
Oh, gosh. Well, I hope it says that I, like, put effort.
Yeah.
Like, that I'm someone who tries.
All right.
but not tries too hard. That's kind of what I'm going for.
That's
like she put in some effort, but she's not like... But the thing is, I overthink things.
Yeah.
So then I overthink the trying not to look like I'm trying too hard, which creates...
It's like the you tried so hard on your hair to make it look like you just rolled out of bed.
Yeah.
That kind of idea.
And then people will say, like, I often feel like my hair looks ridiculous. Like, I'm not great at styling hair, so
yeah.
I don't really know how it looks most of the time, But then people will say, oh, your hair looks great all the time. And I'm like, okay. Because I got a cut the other day, and I really didn't like it. And then I ran to someone I knew, and they said, well, if this is what your hair looks like when you don't like it, it's pretty good. And I was like, I don't know what you're basing the standard on, because I am not happy with this.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's like how you feel versus what other people see, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of subjective.
Well, and it's also that thing of, like, no matter how... Because sometimes if you're, like, iffy on an outfit, if you're, like, trying something new of, like, a new cut or a slightly different style or, like, yeah. like a cut of clothing, cut of pant, whatever, you can be like, oh, I hope this goes well, but, like, I'm slightly undecided. So if you see people and they're like, hey, you look great, then you're like, okay, I'm feeling better about this. I still don't know how I feel in this, but, yeah. like, it's being received well. Versus if you're already like, I don't like this thing, and everyone's like, it's great! And then you're like, well, either I'm wrong or you're an asshole. And I don't think I like either of those options.
Yeah, like, maybe I don't want to like what I'm wearing.
Yeah, I need you to be like, yeah, that's not you. And you're like, thank you.
Yeah.
I'll burn it now.
Exactly. And I think... I also want my clothing to say that I'm someone who looks interesting.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to... I think the problem I had as a kid. Like, there was so much pressure to fit in and be like everyone else.
Yeah.
Even though my body wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, I was way taller than all the other kids in my class and all that. And the styles just did not suit me, what was available at the time. And so now I don't like... I've had to learn that I don't like fitting in. I don't like looking like everyone else.
Yeah.
And that's partly why I think I'm really enjoying making my own clothes more and more, because then it's something that is like no one else has this mm-hmm. sweater, and I can make it exactly to fit me. And if it turns out terribly, then I just like
unravel it
or give it away or whatever.
Yeah,
so no one has to know. But it's not like I've wasted a bunch of money on this garment that someone else could have gotten more enjoyment out of.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like as much of a as wasteful, I guess. I'm getting a lot better at making things that I like.
Yeah, I remember I, like, struggled so much, because you are a much more prolific knitter than I am, and Mom is also pretty big on knitting,
mm-hmm.
Whereas I will, like, pick it up to do, like, a couple things a year, and then be like, I'm done with this. But I also think I was in art school, and so that is how my creative outlet was being fulfilled, was through class assignments.
Right.
Whereas for you, you work in psychology, so it's a bit more cerebral and
yeah.
mental, and so it was kind of like your outlet of, like, at the end of the day or throughout the day, you kind of be like, I want to, like,
yeah.
step away, take a break, I'm going to knit. And so through that, I remember, but for me, it was a big struggle because I wasn't knitting as much, and so if I didn't like a project, I was like, well, I failed, and everything was wrong, and right. blah, blah, blah. And Mom was like, nah, your sister is just like, don't like it, rip it out, make a new thing.
But even my knitting friends make fun of me for that because, well, up until really recently, I didn't have a lot of money to buy yarn.
Yeah.
It's gotten better more recently, but when I first moved back to Vancouver, I didn't really have a lot of money, and so I would re-knit things. So,
yeah.
And I would do that before, too. Like, if I really liked a yarn, but I didn't like the thing I made, I would rather re-knit it into something I would like.
So yeah.
I would finish a scarf, say, and wear it for like 3 weeks, and then be like, no, it's not long enough, or it's not the right shape, or
yeah.
it's not doing what I want. And so I'd figure out what I didn't like, rip it out, and start over. And most of my knitter friends think that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they don't understand why I would spend all this time making something just to start over. I don't do that every time, but I do that more often, I think, than...
I feel like you are the one in the family knitter. Who will do that. Like,
yeah.
out of the three of us, it's like, you will be the one. And for me, it's even like, I recently frogged a scarf I made years ago that I never wore.
Yeah.
I think I just, like, I wanted to make this one knit scarf pattern that was, like, a triangle cowl thing.
Which was that?
It was, like, I don't even know. It was like you basically just knit a long scarf and then you did this, like you sewed it together so it had like a
Which
point
yarn
and it was
did
a
you
cowl.
Use, though?
I used like a Manos de Uruguay. Like it wasn't the right weight. It needed to be
oh.
like a sport or a DK weight, and I used like a fingering weight.
Right.
Because that was the thing I wanted to make, and I got gifted this yarn and I was like, together, and Mom was like, what the hell are you doing? And I was like, I'm making a scarf, and
but
she was
that's
like,
how
okay.
you learn. Like, that was when
yeah.
I learned how to put yarns with patterns and know what would work for which, because even like the design, like learning
yeah.
how different types of yarns function within like a sweater, it totally changes the look of the finished
yeah
the finished thing. So I feel like that, but that's, you don't learn that until you do that. Like if you're always buying the yarn that the thing was designed for, you never get that experience of like learning why something doesn't work.
Yeah, but I also think I at least right now, like, I am working on a knitting project, but, like, knitting isn't always my textile medium. I'm like, yeah. Ooh, maybe I want to weave this and, like, play with the color. Or it's like, I don't think I would embroider with it, but it's like...
You're a fiber whore.
Yes, I am. But there's, like, different things that I want to do with, like, yarn specifically, whereas for you, it's like, oh, what type of garment or what type of thing do you want to make?
Yeah.
Or, like, knit with that yarn, whereas for me, I'm like, what do I want to do, period, with this yarn? Where it's like, I see, like, the really, like, lofty, slubby yarn, and I'm like, I want to make a tapestry with that.
Right.
Whereas you would be like, I want to make, like, some booties or, like, a scarf or a shawl or a sweater.
And I used to make more accessories. Now I'm really into sweaters.
You are very big into the garments. I just tried to make a sweater, and it did not work. But again, free pattern that translated poorly.
Which sweater?
Oh, the, like, so oversized. It was, like, a boxy sweater. It did not work. It? Oh, I frogged that thing. Oh, it is now my warp fiber.
Was it also black?
No, it was, like, it was just, like, a number of things that I just kind of, like, slapped it together. And then I also, like, started it 2 years ago and then picked it back up. And I got enough to, like, sew the body together. And it was, like, this little crop sweater that was supposed to be hitting, like, my waistband.
Oh.
And I just went, shut it down. And I just ripped the thing out. And I have all these balls of yarn, like, all these skeins. Also, it was a sweater I got from Value Village. It was, like, a fisherman's cable sweater.
Right.
That was, like, very...
Like a store-bought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, like, very poochy and, like, there was, like, too much material in the armpit.
Uh-huh.
So it was just, like, too big. Instead of that being that, like, fun, like, ooh, it's kind of cozy, slouchy, it was, like, there's, like, fabric shoved up my armpit right now. This is very uncomfortable.
So you didn't really, it wasn't a big loss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now I just use it as, like, my warp yarn when I'm teaching myself how to weave again. Well, that's
the thing about, you can always find something to do with it afterwards.
Exactly. What did I do?
It's almost like, I think if I was a sculptor, I would feel this way about sculpting. It's like trying to figure out what the yarn wants to be.
Yes.
Right, that's what they say about sculpture. It's like you're trying to figure out what is living inside the thing, and it's emerging as you sculpt.
Yeah.
That was not said very well. But
I know what you mean. There's a bit of a busy week.
But yeah, I feel like that about yarn sometimes. It's like you think you're like, oh, I want to use this yarn for this project, but then the yarn, I mean, sometimes it just doesn't work, and you have to know when to be like... This is not what you want to be.
Yeah.
How to figure out what you want to be. And sometimes they just need to sit and think for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So this is like, I think you already touched on this because I always say like, what do you think your clothing says about you? And then what do you want your clothing to say about you? Which I think you've touched on a little bit of like.
I think that's what I answered was what I wanted to say. I don't think I answered what I think it says.
Maybe I asked the wrong question in the wrong order.
No, I think that I said what I wanted to be. What do I think it says about me? See, that's a scarier question. What do I think it says about me? I think it says, like, well, she's fun.
That's so unconvincing. You're like, yeah, she's all right.
Maybe, like, approachable. Like, I think I try to be, like a little bit of a mess. Or, like, just a little bit not super... Because, like, academia can be very... It's, like... Like, or, like, someone in business, right? Like, I was wearing a suit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want my clothing to say, like, she seems nice.
Well, you also work with children and in school, so I think that... Do you think that informs it at all? Yeah, but
I
don't...
Again, like, I just want to be different. So it's, like, I think I want... I think it says, like, there's always something that's, like, noticeable that someone could go, like, oh, well, that person... What am I trying to say? Like, I think we all go around feeling like we don't really fit in.
Yeah.
At least some of the time. And I want to be that person who people can look at and go, oh, I feel like I don't fit in, but that person kind of doesn't fit in. Like, maybe we have some, like,
okay.
Maybe they'll see something in me that's likable.
So are you trying to, like, maybe role model for, like, be that person that you would have liked in your adolescence? Of, like, if you saw someone who looked like... the, like, 2000s, like, early 2000s or, like, 90s equivalent of you now. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Of, like, if you saw someone who was modeling how... If you, like, met a child who was, like, you in your adolescence, and you could be, like... They'd be, like, oh, I could kind of see myself in this adult figure or, like, this person.
Or just be, like, oh, there's someone who's, like, doing it the way they want to.
Yeah.
And so then maybe it's okay for me to do things the way I want to. Like, yes. Not so much doing, like... modeling, like, this is a way that you can dress, but more like and specifically, like, you can dress like me, but more like there are no rules, like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be who you want. You don't have to be like everyone else.
I feel like that's also just like the tone of like the global economy, like social media nowadays, of like, mm-hmm. I think that just exists in a way now that it didn't for us growing up.
Yeah, like I find a lot of this whole like kind of becoming more knowledgeable about like feminism,
yeah,
and stuff. I really get and like the whole you know, health at every size and sort of body positive, but more than body positive culture.
Yeah.
What's the new phrase for it? It's fat, like fat activism.
Yeah.
Is the phrase of wear whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
That's what I want my clothes to say about me.
Very
good. That's what I think, that's what I hope I'm projecting to people, is wear whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
If you like it, I like it. You're cool.
I'm into it. Okay, so you touched on this a little bit earlier. So do you have any personal fashion rules? You've already talked about, like, no, like, sweats or, like, loungewear outside of the house.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to something yoga. Specific for that. Yeah, yoga. Do you have any other fashion
Even
rules?
Even then, I'm really comfortable when I'm not in the yoga studio.
If we could just, like, teleport yourself in, like,
I meant to put this on Facebook and I forgot. I had the most Vancouver experience the other day. I went to yoga class and I go to yoga in Chinatown, in a studio in Chinatown. And so I drove there and parked my car, and to get to the yoga studio I had to cross the street and I had to go through a film set to get to my yoga class, and I was like, this is the most Vancouver ever. Like, only, I mean, not only in Vancouver, but it's very Vancouver.
Yes.
For that to happen. Anyway, fashion rules. Oh, well, wear whatever the fuck you want.
I love it.
Dress for how you feel. It's not really a rule so much as just something I do.
That's fine too.
I don't like wearing sneakers with jeans.
Really?
I don't think I look good. I think it looks weird.
Interesting.
On me. Like, I don't, I'm not a very sporty looking person, so I feel like when I try to, like other people can pull off like sneakers and jeans, but I need to be like sneakers and like athletic pants if I'm going to do something athletic. It's like, again, dressing for the role that I'm doing.
Do you mean like sneakers, like very clearly like running shoes?
Yeah,
or do you mean sneakers? Shoes. Okay, or do you mean sneakers like my sneakers? Like, I have like what I'm wearing for this trip, I would call fashion sneakers.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even wear those. I would wear slip-ons.
Interesting.
Like, I would wear flats or Toms.
Yeah.
Because I think they look weird on me.
Sneakers? Like fashion sneakers?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like when my bra straps show.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like when the strap of my, like, I tend not to wear like strappy things. Because I've got bigger boobs.
Just bigger.
Yeah, and so I like a supportive brassiere situation. It's good for my posture.
Yeah.
This is like a whole like educational thing that I feel like if you don't have big boobs, you don't know. But like, good bra.
Oh my gosh.
Like, and you can't sacrifice on that and you can't skimp on it. Like, I wish I was someone who could wear these like cute little lacy under things or like go braless. It's not an option for me.
Oh my gosh. Like, so
in my life.
I've already watched all of Shrill, but we've been watching Shrill while I've been here on this trip, and I love the point where it's like the second or third episode, and so Adi Bryant's character, Annie, she like goes up to her bedroom and she takes her bra off and then is just like chilling in her bed. And then she gets some really exciting news, and so she runs downstairs with her laptop, like mm-hmm. waving her laptop. And is telling her roommate, she's like, yay, this thing happened. And then she's holding her boobs and jumping. And her roommate's like, why are you holding your boobs? And she's like, I'm not wearing a bra. And I was like, thank you. As like a larger chested person, I feel very seen in this moment. Because it's like, like stairs. I don't know about you going like free booming at mom's house. And then going up and down stairs. You're like, I'm just going to hold my boobs while I go up the stairs.
Yeah, like I don't like answering the door if I'm not wearing a bra. It feels weird.
Yeah.
So yeah, but because of that, like I they have like wider straps.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't like when the top has skinnier straps than my bra. Like, I want them to be covered. I don't care if they see other parts of the bra, but just not the straps for some reason.
No, I
also
get that.
Like when, like I fussed around with, like, strapless bras and those, like, weird, clear plastic ones.
Barf.
And, like, all of it. And I think, again, I'm kind of going for something more simpler and just wear what works and buy things that work. So I don't want to have to worry about matching my bra to my top and having a bra to wear with that specific top. It's like too much. So
yeah, fair.
No skinny straps.
I'm into it.
Or strapless things really in general.
Unless there's like,
it never works.
Unless it's like a fancy top that has like a lot of corsetry and boning, but like, why are you wearing that top in your life?
Even then, it's,
I feel like there are other options.
It's not, you just learn these things, I think, in life. Oh, I always like to be weather appropriate. So, which is tricky when you live in a place like Vancouver where the weather changes 3 times a day. But, like, I will always have a jacket. Mm-hmm. I don't like not having a jacket. I really need definitely pockets. Mm-hmm. So, like, I wear jackets because then there's pockets I can put my keys in. And I will almost always have a scarf with me. Just in case.
That makes sense. I feel like I dressed and, like, would plan my day similarly when I lived in Nova Scotia, because I think it's just a coastal thing where it's, like, it can be freezing in the morning, sunny in the afternoon, and then, like, pouring rain in the in the evening. And so you're like, all right, we're going to pack some layers. Yeah. We're going to peel them off throughout the day, put them back on. We're going to have, like, a slightly waterproof jacket on because
I don't know.
Oh, see, I don't trust umbrellas, but that's also because I lived in hurricane territory for 5 years.
Right.
So I just fundamentally do not trust an umbrella. Also, then you have another thing in your hand, and if you're already carrying stuff, it's just tricky. Well, versus, like,
you have put in your bag.
But if you're, like, using your umbrella and carrying it, then you're down a hand.
That's true.
So, like, what if you have, like, a cup in your hand, or you're carrying something,
it gets awkward.
Yeah.
It gets real awkward.
So it's just like, I'm just going to get a rain jacket with a hood.
Yeah, that's really the best.
With a beak. Mom and Dad always taught us, get it with a beak. That little, like, extra bit coming out the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you, though,
the other thing we learned as a kid, like, in the winter, you always bring mittens with you. Even if you're just going to, like, the store, because what if the car breaks down you have to get out and walk? Which, it's not like we drove, like, crappy, falling-apart cars. I don't know why that was a concern, but it was always, like, you always had a hat and mittens with you, even if you were just going for, like, a 5-minute car ride.
Oh, it was always, I remember specifically when we would go to church, like, Christmas Eve service, and I would want to wear, like, my church shoes, which are, like, little patent Mary Janes, typically. Yeah. And I was like, no, I want to wear these shoes. And Mom was like, wear your boots, or you have to, like, pack your boots. And I was like, no. And again, it was, well, what if the car breaks down and you have to walk? You don't want to be walking in your nice shoes.
There was always a threat of, like, us getting apparently stranded in, like, the middle of nowhere.
But also, it's like, how far is it between church and the house? And how many businesses are there between so church and the house?
Yeah.
Who could we, like, there are so many neighbors we could have called.
Oh, yeah. No.
But also in my head, because I was, like, 5 when this would happen, I didn't have a good concept of what that route actually looked like. And so in my mind, it was, like, a desolate side of the road.
That was the image. It was always like, there's no one around for miles, and it's dark and windy, and there's wolves, probably.
It's basically that scene out of Beauty and the Beast.
But you have mittens, so you'll be fine.
Basically. Do you have any style icons or, like, any people you look up to in terms or that you admire?
I've always been a big fan of Audrey Hepburn, even though, like, our body shapes could not be more different, but, like, that easy elegance and simplicity of the, like, a love and ankle length pant.
Yes!
The flats.
We did not inherit that from Mom.
Ugh, and just, like, yeah, real, so sometimes because I have a tendency to, like, overdo things, I like a bit of theatricality.
Yeah.
I also kind of go the other way where it's, like, super simple, super basic, almost like uniform style. So I would say it gravitates between Audrey Hepburn and, like, any drag queen ever.
Yes!
Like, I just love their, the expressive quality of and over-the-topness of it. I'm trying to think if there's someone in between, but it's not coming to me right now. But yeah, like, I really admire people who are able to wear their insides on their outsides.
Yeah.
And kind of change it up and be a different person just by changing the clothes they're wearing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, we talked about this a little bit already. So one of my questions is, you are a maker, sewing and knitting. Yeah. How has this informed your relationship with clothing? So you talked earlier about, like, you now are able to, like, make the clothes you want. Mm-hmm. So that, like, they fit your taste, they fit your body.
Most of the time.
Well, yeah.
Not always.
Case in point, the cardigan you're currently working on a little bit.
This one?
Well, I just remember, like, you did your swatch and then you cast on. Like, you got it going, and then you were like, oh, this is far too large,
so
you
had to take it all out. Well, it was more like a math issue. Yeah, like, getting the right gauge to it. No, I would, I think, I just recently did a fitting fundamentals workshop for sewing, and that was super informative, and I'm trying to put that into practice now where I can alter, because I've had a couple sewing experiences where I make a top, and it's the right size, but it doesn't fit. It's not wearable.
Yeah.
Even though it fits, it just doesn't fit.
No, I know what you mean. Like, you followed the, like, So you, like, measured yourself and you followed what's on the pattern of,
did
like...
pick the right size.
Yeah, like, based off of these measurements, you should make this size, so you follow the pattern and blah, 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 blah. But then you get it on your person and you're like, oh, it's, like, slightly too baggy in the armhole, or, like, this is not
often
quite right.
For me, it's too short. Like, as a top, they're too short. And then it's not just... What I learned in this workshop was, it's not about adding length to the bottom. It's about figuring out where you need to add length. Like, maybe you need to add length above your waist, which I think is actually the problem for me.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, super empowering. And listening to the Love to Sew podcast, they did an episode, and I think in the first year, talking about what it means to them. And this idea that it takes kind of the morality out of sizes, or, like, the valuing out of it. So it's instead of wanting to be a size whatever and feeling bad because you're not, you're just you're making things for, like, the number of inches you are.
Yes.
And that can still kind of get in your head sometimes about, like, why you're more inches than so-and-so, right? Like, is that a bad thing that you're bigger than or smaller than they are in whatever body part you're measuring? But it really helps to kind of focus you in on, like, I just need to make enough fabric, or I need enough material to cover this part of my body, and that's how much. It's more scientific. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's, it weirdly takes the feeling out of it in a way. It becomes more objective.
Yeah.
About, like, well, that's just how much you need.
Yes.
Like, it's not good or bad. It just is.
Yeah, I definitely see that.
Instead of feeling ashamed of how you look. So I think it's helped with kind of, like, the body.
Oh,
body,
yeah. Like, because there's, like, because I've worked in retail on and off for many, many years. And so typically it is, like, the shame of, or, like, the bad feelings towards, like, oh, going up a size. And what does that look like? And what does that mean for you? And, like, kind of all that,
or
like,
feeling,
societal,
and feeling
emotional baggage.
Victorious when you get to go down a size. Like, somehow you've done something miraculous and amazing and you're a better person now.
Yeah, which is, like, that's not how that works. It's just that size
when you know you
better.
Haven't changed at all, like, from moment to moment.
But I remember the last retail job I worked at, there was a woman... Also, the sizing was really weird, where you... Like, so say there's, like, the regular size that you wear, you fit a size smaller in this clothing line.
Right.
Which, again, is just, like, a thing you have to know of, like, oh, when I shop here, I actually fit down into this size, or I fit in this range, or whatever. But it was kind of a bit of a mind fuck, in my opinion, where I was like, no, I just kind of figured this one out, and now you're doing this to... Okay, whatever.
Right.
Sure. Sure, let's play that game.
Well, I remember one time trying on, like, trying on some old dresses that I'd bought for weddings over the years, and I'm trying to find one to wear to something. And dresses that, like, were the same number size, but, like, didn't fit.
Yeah.
But then a smaller size dress did fit. And I was just like, how is this even possible?
Yeah, no.
Like, I bought this other dress later and it's a smaller size. But anyway, it was like...
It's such a... But I remember there was one woman, so this store where, like, the sizes are all smaller than, I guess, what you were typically used to wearing. And so it was this woman probably in her, like, 70s or 80s who was shopping with her granddaughter. And it was like, she's going off to school and I'm buying her some new clothes and we're going shopping together. I was like, this is very sweet. But the grandmother was, like, a very thin, frail woman. And so I got her one size. And whenever I was like, oh, that's not, that doesn't look, I was like, oh, it looks like the pants are a bit big on you. I can grab you a smaller size. And she was like, no, I don't want to go into a smaller size. And I don't know if it was, like, she had recently lost weight, or if, like, she was in poor health and therefore had, like, dropped weight and therefore was, I don't know. But it was just so strange for her to, like, that going down a size was this bad thing to her.
Huh.
And I was like... But yeah, just, I feel like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't in terms of, like, trying to fit into standardized sizing, where it's just like...
I think the other thing about making my own clothes is it does make me feel, like I said, it kind of, it's empowering. Like, it makes me feel like I could survive.
Yeah.
If I needed to, I can, because I have the skills to clothe myself and I'm not dependent on a fashion industry that seems to, like, have these weird whims. And, like, I grew up in high school with, like, low-rise jeans, which was a terrible time.
Oh, it was horrible.
Like, you couldn't buy a pair of pants to cover your butt. Like, it just didn't exist. Like, I remember, like, Dad making fun of me for, like, my pants always being really low, and it was like, I have no other options. Like, it's not like I want these. I know it's not flattering on me, but, like, this is all there is.
Yeah, this is the market.
Right? And I think things have gotten a bit better, but it's still, you're still kind of stuck to, like, what's available, what exists. And, like, you know, you find a company that makes jeans that you like and that fit you the way you like, but then you're kind of dependent on that company still existing and not changing their blocks or their sizing or their materials, right? Because Or, like, what if you move and then you can't access that? That store isn't where you live now. And so, like, how are you supposed to get pants? And,
yeah.
And, like, as a bigger, taller person, it's kind of an ongoing stressful thing.
Yeah.
And so learning the skills to make my own clothes, like, well, I'll always have something to wear because I can make it myself regardless, like, no matter where I am in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like, my own self-contained little fashion industry.
Speaking of, this is, like, this very is really fresh gonna be news.
Documentary. Like,
this is fresh news.
Remember this moment.
Yeah, historical, no kidding.
Historical artifact.
So you are moving to Finland.
Theoretically, yes.
In the fall. You were mentioning the other day, you were like, people in Finland are tall, aren't they? Like, how are you... Just you talking about, like, being... Like, there's going to be a whole different fashion system over there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what they're going to have. Like, what they're, like... Will they have H&M? Will they have, like, those things? Like, what's going to be their version of that? Like,
well, and especially since I'm also someone who, like, I kind of like to find the thing that works, and then I go back to that over and over and over again. So, like, I buy my jeans at Old Navy.
Yeah.
Which isn't great in terms of, like, equitable fashion. But they make pants that fit, and I can afford them. And it's not, like, $300 for a pair of jeans that are going to last 3 months. Right?
Yeah.
So it's manageable for my life right now. I don't know if they have Old Navy in Finland. And now we have, like, online shopping and stuff, but then you're, like, shipping. I think about this on a daily basis right now. So, like, I think about, like, I could never live in Japan because everyone's really short there, and I would, like, I could only live there for, like, 6 months because I would never be able to buy clothes.
Or you just have to, like, pack very strategically or be like, I'm just going to lean into, like, borrow.
Yeah, like, mending everything. So, yeah, because otherwise you'll never find clothing to fit. I don't know if this is something that other people worry about as much as I worry about it, but... I mean, you got to trust that there's going to be clothing for the climate that you can find. And I am going for a job, so I will have... It's not like I'll be able to buy things. Like,
yes.
I'll have money and currency. It's not like going on vacation and worrying about, like, overspending. Like, I will be working there. So I will be making money while I'm there so I can afford to purchase things to wear while I am there.
Yeah.
These sort of things I have to remind myself of. But it is kind of daunting to think about, like, exciting but daunting, like.
Yeah.
And I think being able to make my own clothes does bring a certain sense of comfort of, like, well, at least I'll have sweaters.
Yes. And I feel like, as we've been discussing with our mom, our mother, is, like, there's, what, like, 3 hours of daylight during the winter. Basically, you're just going to be living in knit goods. And you're very prepared for
very
that.
Very bright knit goods, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Knitted things.
Very nice. Similarly, or, like, on a riff of this, so, like, you've lived in various cities and countries.
Uh-huh.
You have lived in multiple countries. This is a fact. How has this informed how you dress?
Well, I would say moving from Toronto to Vancouver, like, Toronto-ish to Vancouver, it did change how I dress. Because here, I still do kind of the seasonal thing where I do have my more summery dresses and shorts and stuff that I do put away, and I pull out kind of the heavier knit stuff. And vice versa. Like, I do that once a year. But not as much as I did. Like, I think when I lived in Ontario, I did that 3 or 4 times a year. Like, it was more like 4 seasons of clothes. And, like, you kind of had you moved through them and stuff went away and came out. And here I have, like, kind of more 6 months and 6 months. And I realized I was wearing stuff throughout the year more. So it was more like I changed how I would shop. Like, I would buy dresses that I could in the summer wear with, like, bare legs and shoes, and then add some tights and a jacket and a scarf, and you're good into the fall and winter. So my clothes were wearing out faster because I was wearing them throughout the year, and so I had to kind of get used to it. It changed how I shopped and when I shopped in that way. And it changed because, too, like, you have to think, like, instead of thinking about, like, what's new for this season, like, instead of buying, like, the new pants for back to school that were for the season, it was like, well, what do I want to wear for this year?
Yeah.
Because I was going to wear it longer. Other than that, like, scarves are a big thing here, so I'm much more into scarf.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because I kind of, pretty much all year long, at some point during the day, you want a scarf at some point.
You do have many, many scarves.
Yeah. They're handy.
They are.
You can use them to sit on, cover yourself if it's too hot.
Oh, my favorite is going to the movie. So I'll have, like, my jacket and maybe, like, a cardigan or something. But then I wear, like, that one scarf that my friend brought back from, like, Belgium or whatever. Like, the pink, the many, many stripes. Like, my rainbow stripe one.
Good one.
It's a good, like, medium to heavy weight.
Yeah.
And it's wide enough that if I go to the movies, I can, like, have it scrunched up around my neck. Or I can just, like, unfurl,
like,
it and just, yep, just, like, wrap yourself up in your pashmina and be like, I'm great.
Gotta be versatile.
Yes.
And flexible for your day, and you want it to be able to something you can also, like, stuff in your bag.
Oh yeah.
when the sun comes out.
Or, like, at least be able to, like, knot it and, like, have it hang off your strap.
Yeah.
If the purse itself is too small or too full.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's a thing.
Well, and then what out, because you lived in, like, rural-ish Illinois for a while.
Yeah, the middle of Illinois.
What was that like?
I would say it was more like living in Ontario, like, where we grew up.
Oh, really?
It caused a lot of, like, homesickness in that way, because the weather was much more similar. Like,
yeah.
Thunderstorms and really hot and humid in the summer. Like, just the extreme temperatures reminded me of that. Although it was an El Nino year, I was lucky, so it didn't get super cold in the winter. But it was still colder than I wanted it to be. But yeah, it was more like there were clothes I wore in the winter, and then there were clothes I wore in the summer, and there wasn't a lot of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like these are your work summer outfits, and I would just wear the same things over and over, over again.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have as much, because I had been shopping in a way where I can mix and match things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of was really more restricting. Yeah. And I bought more stuff. I shopped at Target.
Yeah.
Which I still have some stuff I bought at Target, and it was really exciting to shop at, like, stores like that, because that's not a thing here so much. But then a lot of it's crappy. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
gets the job done.
It gets the job done, but it's like eating potato chips for dinner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not things you treasure.
Yeah, not often. I feel like, yeah, there'll be, like, the one or two things that, like, for whatever reason, it lasts.
It's like, I can fast afford. Fashion, yeah, but exactly. Those things that last, but a lot of it doesn't. So it kind of evens out in terms of, I feel like, expense. Because you end up spending money on things that you end up not using as much as you thought you would.
Mm-hmm.
Than other things that were, like, $10. You're like, I wear this all the time. And it's lasted for 3 years. So it's kind of hit and miss. But it's not as satisfying as the things I make, or the things I, like, my vintage finds.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stuff I find much more, like, it's like a meal.
Yeah, when you were talking about making things for yourself, of, like, it's one of a kind and only you will have it, and I think that's what I like about vintage specifically, but even just thrift shopping in general. Like, I've had pants that I've thrifted from, like, their age. Like, I think I'm currently wearing, like, thrifted Old Navy pants.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, they were probably a couple seasons enough ago that, like, that's not going to be the, like, you'll walk into a store and be like, oh, those are the pants I'm currently wearing. Like, they're probably removed enough from the season that it's, like...
But they're also going to look like everyone else's pants anyway, so it's not like anyone would be able to pick them out. And that's kind of fun. Like, you need those things, too, I think. Like, those kind of staple basics.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I'm becoming very sensitive to, like, fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have a hard time shopping cheaper, because the synthetic fabrics just, like, make my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I even have clothes in my closet now that I bought not long ago that I'm like, I can't wear this anymore because it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
But when I'm making my own clothes, I can kind of buy nicer fabrics, or, like, yarn feels really nice. Like,
yeah.
It just, I don't know, it feels kind of like nourishing in some way. It's the whole experience of wearing clothes is, it's like a whole body experience.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know if this is going to be interesting to anybody else to listen to this.
I think it will be. All right.
I feel like I'm not as interesting as some of your other guests.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
We need to wrap this up soon.
Yeah, we do. We're going to. So we're going to do some wrap-up stuff. So, because you're my sibling, and I feel like this is necessary, can you please talk about one of your most embarrassing fashion moments?
Oh, I don't want to do that.
Come on! No?
Embarrassing Fine. Fashion moments? There's so many. Most of them probably involve, like, bodily fluids.
What?
Stuff. Like, when you're a kid. Or
something. Gross. Maybe not most, but, like, an embarrassing fashion moment.
Honestly, like, my brain is being flooded with things. I can't even just pick one. Like, there's just so embarrassing things. I'm just trying to think of something recently that happened. Okay, so this isn't one. This is kind of an ongoing thing for me, but I'm often very, like, not a morning person.
Yep.
And so I tend to kind of just, like, 10 minutes, get dressed, have some coffee, out the door. And so oftentimes, like, when I was living in Illinois, my supervisor would get to work and she would be like, hey, like, she'd need to, like, fix me in the morning. So, like, my collar wouldn't be straight, or there'd be some, like, fluff on my shoulder, or, like, I wouldn't have finished, like, blending my makeup or something. And she'd be like, okay, let me just, like, or my hair would be, like, doing something weird on my head. And so she would just, she goes, I'm just going to do this. Is that okay? And I was like, I was always really happy to have her kind of, like, so that's a thing where I'm, like, yesterday at my graduation, when I was getting dressed, I had, like, unzipped the back of my dress a little bit so I didn't mess up my hair.
Oh, is that why you did that?
And then forgot.
For the whole day?
For the whole day. And so I'd put on a sweater to get to the ceremony, and then we got to the ceremony, and I put on my robe, and then did the ceremony thing, and then it wasn't until I took off the robe afterwards that everyone's like, your dress is half unzipped back, and I was like, oh yeah. So I guess that's the thing, like, in all of my graduation pictures, like, I'm on the stage in this, like, big fancy event, and my dress is, like, not even done up.
Well, no one will know, because you are wearing the ceremonial robe, but yeah, I think, yeah, it was when you were returning.
So, like, I'm
it.
Always a little undone.
That's charming. I remember my supervisor from my internship, she, if there was, like, a zip or a button or something in the back that she couldn't quite reach, she would, or maybe, was it Susan who did this? I think she would just, like, put on a little cardigan and then get to work and then be, like, go to someone and be, like, it was all women in the office mostly, so she'd be, like, can you zip me, please? So she would, like, go to someone and be, like, please zip me.
That was my intention, but I forgot.
Fair. Fair. It happens. All right, let's do some of this or that. So I will give you two options.
This is my favorite part, actually. This is my favorite segment of your podcast.
Thank you. Yeah. I need to think of some new this's or that's. Anyway, so you will say, I will give you two options. You will say the one you prefer. You can elaborate, but you do not have to.
Okay.
Stripes or plaid?
Plaid.
All right. You are doing, like, game show style. Like, you are very intent. You're like, you have, like, laser focus. It's like when we went to games night the other night, where it's like laser focus. You're, like, staring at something, but it's, like, beyond something.
I like them both, but if I had to pick one, I would plaid a little bit more. Just for, like, the cultural aspect of it. And there's so many colors and options.
Yeah, you really, like...
it's a little bit more dramatic than stripes.
In the last, like, 5 years, you really have, like, leaned into plaid. But you're like, I want a flannel,
well,
I want a
jack. Plaid, I'm kind of, yeah.
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 Anyway, I get it. I get it. I say stripes. Anyway...
You look good in a stripe. You look very French when you wear
that's
stripes.
That's the thing, is yeah. I just feel French in a stripe. And so I'm like, oh, Gabrielle.
I like stripes on you a lot.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Florals or polka dots?
Polka dots.
Dressed up or dressed down?
I don't know what dressed down means.
Whatever you want it to mean.
I'm going to say dressed up, even though I'm never as comfortable dressed up, but I like the drama.
Yes.
I like the fancifulness.
Again, hold my beer. I need to go get dressed.
Yeah, like in my mind. Yeah, there is no dress down. There's always something. You're dressing for something.
Yes. Heels or flats?
Flats.
I feel like you said it in a bit of a flat note. Flats.
I love a flat. I will wear heels once in a while, but I'm just not as experienced. Like, again, I like the way they look. Mm-hmm. They're not comfortable.
No.
I'm already very tall.
You are.
So I don't wear them very often, so therefore I'm not as comfortable in them.
Makes sense.
I don't know how people wear them all day.
I don't know. I know. I have, like, petite coworkers that always wear heels, and I'm like, thank God I'm as tall as I am. Because if I, like, felt the social pressure to always be slightly taller every day, I just, whew.
I think they're super fun. Just, no, I'm flats. I like flat things.
Fair. Makeup or au naturel?
I always wear a little bit of makeup.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because our mom once told me that when I don't have mascara on, my eyes sink into the back of my head. And it's always in my head now. So I will always put on, like, I don't wear a lot of makeup day to day.
Is that similar to her, like, you can wear this color, you can't wear that color?
Sometimes she just says things like, often when I want her opinion, she refuses to give me an opinion. Again, I think out of that fear of, like, upsetting me and saying the wrong thing, because that happens a lot. Where I'll be like, how dare you say that about my outfit?
Yeah.
Like, how dare you say it's nice? Why did you say it's fabulous? Like, I can be that.
Yeah.
So I think she defaults to, like, saying nothing, and then I get really upset. But then every once in a while, she'll just say something completely out of the blue without any prompting, and it's like, I didn't need to know that. I didn't need to know that you were thinking that about no mascara right now.
Recent in my mind, granted this is a couple years ago, I had a summer where I was very into lipstick and just, like, bold colors and being like, yeah! And so I have, from the Body Shop, I have an orange lipstick and I have a pink lipstick, like a magenta lipstick.
Yeah, I like a bright lipstick.
And I do too. I don't wear eye makeup because I touch my eyes too much, but I can do a lip. Although, I like, by the time I get to lunch, I've, like, eaten half of it.
Yeah. That's the only thing about lipstick is I'm always afraid it's, like, half worn off and you just have that ring around your mouth.
Yes, classy. Anyway, and so I was wearing, like, I was switching between, like, my orange and my pink every couple of days. And Mom was like, oh, yeah, your orange looks really good. Your pink doesn't look as good. And I was like, I don't care. I'm going to wear it anyway.
Well, the thing is, it probably still looks good. She just not, like, she just is saying, I like the orange one better.
Yes.
But it comes out like, that one looks like poop on your face.
Basically.
Or at least that's how it feels.
Yes.
Even though that's not what she meant.
Yes.
Or what she said. It's hard being a mom. Like, the words you say really care, like, matter. It's a lot of pressure.
Yep.
All right, what's next?
What is next? Dress or pants?
Dress. I kind of hate pants.
Fair.
I mean, every once in a while you're like, I just want to put on a pair of jeans and that's fine. But, like, most of the time I can't wait to take off my pants.
Yeah.
And dresses, it's like one and done, you know, like it's outfit complete. Add a scarf.
Scarf,
boots, and you're done. Like scarf, boots, dress. Absolutely my favorite right now.
Oh, see, for me, granted, I really am enjoying the like limited options because I used to have like 5 pairs of tights and now I have 3. So I have gray, black, and green. So it's just like if I want to wear a dress and it's cold enough out, it's like which tights do I want with it? Gray, black, or green?
Yeah, I used to have I have quite a big tight collection. I went through a colored tights phase, but this winter was mostly, I was into, like, just black wool, like, super warm.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a lot of those in my future.
I feel like you're going to continue to wear the bright colors, though.
But again, not on my legs, maybe.
Oh, see, I think that's, like, my lower half is my favorite half to wear bright colors on, because when you look down, I mean, you can see your torso, but you're going to more naturally see, like, I used to have, like, highlighter yellow Converse in undergrad.
Oh, yeah.
Because I could see, look right down and be like, there's my bright feet.
Oh, I like bright shoes. Yeah. I would wear a colored shoe. Yeah. I think my winter outfit is more blacks and grays.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, next question.
Jean jacket or leather jacket?
Jean jacket. Although I think there's going to be a leather jacket in my future, but a leather jacket is just such a commitment.
It is.
Like getting the right style and cut and fit, because you don't want it to be too big. It's a lot of factors to think about.
Correct.
And they're expensive.
Right? Yes.
So, but a jean jacket, it's like,
whatever. Yeah.
Although I have had my current jean jacket for a really long time.
Yeah. Minimalist or embellished?
Both.
Say more.
Depends on the mood. So, like I said, sometimes I want to be Audrey Hepburn and like, no jewelry. A little bit of makeup, flats, like simple, simple. And sometimes I want to be like, here's my bejeweled Art Deco ring that looks like a bird.
Whatever. Do you still have your parrot ring?
Yes, his name is Harold.
Very good.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. And sometimes, more often, it's more like mostly minimalist and then like one thing that makes me smile that maybe no one else notices. Like maybe I'm wearing underpants that have sheep on them. Or hand-knit socks. Like, it's that kind of thing.
Are you wearing underpants that have sheep on them?
Not currently.
Very good. malls or boutiques?
Oh, boutiques. I can't stand malls.
Fair.
Yeah.
I feel like being the child of, like, the suburbs, and then now living in, like, a very, like, metropolitan city that is, like, very boutique-y.
Well, just, I worked in malls in high school for a long time, and I think I just OD'd on malls. But there's something about the air quality in malls. Like, I'm good for, like, 30 minutes. Like, in and out. Like, I it's almost like I can tell when it's like, I gotta get out of here. Mm-hmm. I've been here for, it's getting up to, like, 28 minutes. Time to go. So, like, I plan my route and I'm like, go in, go out, get your one thing, and go. Also, because I find, like, I don't want, like, it's almost like you're in a commercial. And it's, like, all these things telling you what you should want or should be or you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I was younger, I was very susceptible to that. And now that I'm older, I'm like, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine. I just want this one thing. I don't need all, like, I get distracted easily. And so, it's rare that I'm in the mood that I want to, like, browse in a mall. I'd rather browse in, like, a neighborhood with shops and go in and out. I'm more into, like, an indie thing anyways. Just, you know, shop local, support small businesses kind of
idea. Makes sense. Online shopping or in-person shopping?
Both.
Yeah, I remember, like, a couple years ago, it was, like, a parent discovering the internet being like, did you know about this thing? Because you were ordering all of your Christmas presents online.
Yeah.
Because you were very time poor at the time. Yeah. Like, you were really busy with school and work and everything. So you're like, I can just order things online and get them shipped to my house or to mom's place for Christmas. And I was like,
don't have to go to the mall.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's a thing. And you were like, I love it. And I was like, good for you.
But then I do like touching things and feeling fabrics. And so it depends. It depends on
how that makes sense.
What I'm buying and.
All right, final question. If you were a garment, what garment would you be?
Oh, fuck. If I were a garment? Okay, so my friends, I can hear them in my head, they'd be like, you'd be a pair of socks. Because I really like making socks. That's kind of like...
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, like, talk about, like, minimalist versus embellished. A very fancy chapeau.
Yes!
Like a haberdashery style, like, hat with maybe some, like, mesh and feathery things happening. Mm-hmm. And, like, something, like, not crazy. Like, there's not, like, a swan on my head.
But would it be, like, a wide-rimmed, like, church lady hat or something smaller? Would it be, like, a Philip Tracy, like a fascinator
kind More like of a deal? Fascinator style. Like, not a fascinator. It's a hat.
Yeah.
But it's yeah, it's like art. Like, it's like a really art, like almost architectural thing on my head.
Yes. Yep, that seems right. Yeah, when you said that your friends would say, when you're like, my friends would say that I'm socks, I'm like, you're not socks.
No.
Not that I get to make this decision, but you're not socks. No. I understand the like where that's coming from, but like, hat feels right.
Yeah.
I was going to say like a cape or like something with fringe.
No, I don't think I'd wear fringe. Maybe feathers. Sequins.
Yes.
I do like a but sequin garment.
But I still think, like, there has to be some level, some element of drama to whatever garment you are.
I want to be someone who can pull off a fancy hat. I'm not there yet. I think maybe when I'm at 60, I'll be a lady who wears hats. I'm getting into the glasses.
You are.
The statement frames. And then I feel like hats is the next.
60 is a ways away, though. What happens between fun frames and hats?
Maybe capes. I'm not sure.
Is it like you start wearing more modular clothing? You start wearing big chunky. You kind of do wear chunky jewelry anyway.
I'm excited to see how like moving to Finland is going to change my sense of fashion by like being influenced by like a Scandinavian. They're very like fashion forward there, but also in a very like athletic kind of way. Like like leather jackets are definitely a thing that I've seen.
Really?
At least like they've got this kind of like edgy business style. Like they when they come to conferences, they're like, the Italians are always, like, wearing really nice suits and, like... And the Americans are always a little gaudy and, like, a little poor-fitted, but, like, kind of, like, they're dressing to impress.
Yes.
But they're kind of, like, overdid it a little. Like, cartoonish almost. But then the Finns are just kind of, like, sort of what I imagine, like, a sci-fi movie. Like, they've just got this, like, sleek kind of... Like, a shark. Like, they're just...
Ooh.
They're, like, you just notice them. They're not overwhelming or overpowering, but just kind of, like, put together and, like, efficient, but, like, edgy. Just a little bit edgy.
Well, then.
Yeah. That's my impression, at least, from the people I've met. That might not be the country as a whole.
I'm so curious. Because I was talking to Abby, and I think she said she grew up in Sweden. She was like, they do not give a shit about fashion there. And I was like, that is deeply upsetting. Well, I think it's Sweden.
Maybe it's just how they dress when they're not in Finland.
maybe it's what they wear. It's like their projection of, like, well, this is how you dress when you go to Canadian conferences or North American conferences.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
But that it will be exciting to see how that kind of informs you.
Yeah, because Vancouver West Coast style is very relaxed and laid back, almost like too casual.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
So I think that it'll be interesting to see like what I have access to. Like I would like a bit more of a... I think I could wear more of a structured, like architectural kind of style, because in my business work outfit world versus my like cozy knit world.
Yeah. Very good.
Are we done now?
Just wait a minute. I have to do the thing. All right.
That's the end. I just feel like I need to have like a...
Yeah, oh, that's it.
Boom, wow. Schnazzle dazzle.
We can say that for the end. Just wait. I will give you the cue. It'll probably be like big finger guns.
What do I say?
If you want to do that again, we can. Anyway.
Can't you just use the one I just did?
That's too much work.
Just said it, just cut out.
Anyway, Jessica, you're like a quasi online, but not a whole lot.
Not really.
If people want to go find your research, can they just search your name?
Yeah, I'm on ResearchGate.
Ooh.
On all of the library databases. PsycInfo, look me up.
Ooh.
Yeah, otherwise.
Because you're not, like, you have Instagram, but you're not, like, big on Instagram.
Yeah, I would prefer people don't find me on Instagram.
Fair, touche.
I'll find you.
Don't call us, we'll call you. Yeah. Very good. you can follow the podcast at talkclosepodcast, or you can email talkclose@gmail.com. Check out the website at letstalkclosepodcast.com for show notes, photographs, and other stuff. Please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars only. And thank you. What were you saying?
You can tell them to put 5 stars?
Yeah, that's like...
That feels unfair.
Clearly you don't listen to enough podcasts. Oh yeah, it's like, no, I only want good vibes.
Oh,
only
no.
Good vibes. It's like on your birthday, you're like, don't bring me your shit. I only want good energy.
What happened to like expressing yourself?
I mean, people can do that, but like...
You do you.
But that just seems excessive to, like, go on a thing. Like, this is a free thing. I'm doing this for free.
Definitely for this episode, 5 stars only.
5 stars only. 5 stars only. Anyway, thank you, Jessica, for being on the podcast. This was very exciting.
Thanks for having me.
I feel like this has been a long time coming.
Yeah, if anyone... I'm the big reveal.
I don't know if you're the big reveal, but, like, you're a reveal.
Mystery. Behind the scenes.
Sure.
Ever present.
All right, until next episode, I will catch you later. Bye-bye.
Dazzle, dazzle.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Anyway, what were we talking about?
So that's getting edited out.
Yes. Maybe that would be the blooper for this episode.